Greetings in Jesus' name. This morning I'm very excited because I have a dear pastor. He's a father figure in our city where we live and where we minister. And God has been using him for a really long time in our city to bless the Christian community here and also to be a blessing to the city and the nation and the nations of the world. Please help me welcome Reverend M.A. Verghese, who is the senior pastor of Bethel AG Church in Bangalore, to our podcast. It is our privilege, dear pastor, to interview you. Thank you for giving us this opportunity. Thank you for allowing us to come and speak to you and allow you to share your heart. Could you just say a word of greeting to our people that are listening?
Thank you, brother, for having given me this opportunity, and also I extend all our greetings, even on behalf of the church, to the audience, those who are listening to this podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Pastor, I wanted to just begin with this. When we do a podcast, especially this kind of a podcast, we do it to interview leaders who have been influential in various spheres of life. And the Lord has used you in this time, in your entire lifetime, to bless so many people. But we want to trace back to the origin or the start of your journey with God. How did you encounter the Lord? How did you get saved? How did you have this revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord in your life?
To start with, before my birth, my parents committed me for the gospel work.
Wow.
They were belonging to the Marthomite Church and they wanted me to be a Marthomite priest.
Okay.
So they made a vow before God that this boy will be dedicated for thy work and he will be a priest.
I see.
The best of their ability, they trained me in that way in my very, very younger ages.
Okay.
So my mother gave me enough chance to learn the Bible. What she used to do, she used to tell me the Bible words in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Normally a child called father or mother, normally the mother, Amma, that's how the children were brought up.
Right.
Whereas in my case, the first word I used was Jesus.
Wow.
Yeshua. Because that was what my mother was telling every time.
Mm-hmm.
From then onwards, she used to say one word and I am supposed to repeat it. That's how every children learn speaking. But she used to speak only from the Bible, and henceforth from the Bible only, I was able to speak.
Amazing.
The first sentence that I could ever speak after repeating after my mother was, Jesus wept. Because then that is the first thing which my heart did also. By the time I had joined the nursery, during those times nurseries were not in a similar manner as it is today. It was much more on a crude form. But in those nurseries when I learned, the first letter I was made to read was from the Bible. And the first letter I was asked to write was also from the Bible. And henceforth there was a biblical training with me from my mother's side, from my father's side.
Amazing.
They used to tell me all the good stories of the Bible and all that one. Henceforth, by the time I was 6 years that I passed my class one, that time 5 years we used to go to school.
Okay.
So 6th year when I passed my class one, I have also read 3 chapters from the Bible. And from then onwards, it was a practice in my home that unless I read 1 chapter from the Bible, I will not be given milk.
Wow.
For a milk, I have to read 1 chapter, for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, for everything, one chapter. That became a habit in my life. And also, my parents had been telling me every time you are dedicated for the gospel work and you got to train up yourself in that way. They managed to train me. But by the time I have completed my 10th year, I have completed the Bible also once.
Wow.
From the first cover to the last cover, cover to cover, I have completed the Bible in Malayalam, reading once.
Okay.
And then my father said, on an ordinary day, if you read 3 chapters from the Bible, and on a Sunday, if you read 5 chapters from the Bible, you can complete the Bible within 1 year time.
Okay.
Bible was too big a book
at
that time for me, because I was a young boy. It is too big a book. I never had an imagination. I can completely read this book. But then my father said, in 1 year you can. I started reading 3 chapters a day and I found it is very simple. By the time I became to class 3-4, I found that 10 chapters reading in a day is not a difficult thing. Then 15 chapters not a difficult thing. And also on Sundays, 20 chapters, 30 chapters not a problem. I had been sitting from morning till evening and I keep reading Bible. That became an interest, so that by the time I was 12 years, I understood almost the Bible. Wow. And also I completed it more than around 10-12 times.
Wow.
Then in the Marthomite Church, I used to get enough of messages about salvation. My own father was a Sunday school headmaster and he was a spiritual worker within the church. My mother was leading the women's fellowship conferences and all that. We were a Marthomite, actively involved, living Christians.
Okay.
Henceforth, salvation was taught in the church and that was well known to me.
Right.
Along with the Bible, that was got deep in my mind that I got to be saved and I have to accept. I remember a day that when I was 11 years, I knelt down before my bed and committed my life to Christ.
Wow.
Also, disciplining life also, my parents taught me well. I don't want to explain all that one. To the best of their ability, they taught me how to have a disciplined life. And somehow God was with me. Henceforth, I accepted all that. Never rebelled on it and went on.
Wow.
Now, when I accepted Jesus as my personal savior, reading the Bible had better meanings. I started understanding it better.
Right.
So the doubt started coming from the Bible one by one in me, which my father could not explain to me. I do not know your portal audiences are interested or not. The first doubt I ever had was, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says that a man while praying should not cover his head.
Right.
And our bishops were always covering.
Right.
So I had a doubt whether this is a Christian policy or a non-Christian policy.
Right.
I asked my father. He said there are different customs and the custom in our church is this, so simply follow it.
Right.
I went back and read the Bible and then it say if there is such a custom, that is not for the churches of God. So I knew that I am not in the church of God. I am elsewhere. One day I said to my father, either we have to believe the Bible or the religion, one of that. Now which is right? Because this doesn't go hand in hand. Then my father shouted at me and said, shut up. I kept shut, but that time went on reading the Bible. I still remember the days that I had been reading up to 2:30, 3 o'clock in the night. Then again early in the morning after 2-3 hours of sleep, getting up. And there was a feeling for my parents, I may go even crazy. But somehow God did not allow all that.
Okay.
By the time I completed 11 and a half, I was fully convinced about the baptism.
Right.
But there was no one person in the in my locality who was baptized or who knew to teach me about baptism. From the Bible I learned. Before I complete my 12, God has arranged the ways that I could meet a Pentecostal man, the first person in my generation who came to my village and who had been preaching in an open air meeting. And later I had a chance to talk to that man. That was all God's own arranged way.
Wow.
Otherwise a boy of 11 and a half couldn't do all that.
Right.
I didn't complete my 12, but then I asked him about the water baptism. He said, that is the way we are doing it. And that was the first time I ever met a man in the world who believed like me that a believer has to be baptized.
Right.
God arranged ways for it and I was baptized. There was enough opposition from my home. There was enough opposition from my school, from my village and all that one. There was a little bit of persecution I had to suffer for this. But then I was baptized and I had to walk 13 kilometers one way to attend a Sunday service. So 13 plus 13, 26 kilometers I walked for one Sunday service and there was no food also. My father also told once I got baptized that there won't be a food served to you unless you work in the home like a coolie. They never wanted to throw me out, but they wanted to persecute me and then bring me back to the old faith. That was the thing. Somehow I went on growing to the extent where I am today. 12th year, when I was almost like 12, when after my baptism, that was almost like 12, I was baptized. I am born in 1946 and in 57 I got baptized. Okay, 11 years, not completed 12, but around that time.
Right.
I used to get up early in the morning and go to the nearby roads and then used to shout out the gospel portions. Something about salvation, something about the Holy Spirit and all that. I never received the Holy Spirit, nothing like that. But then I used to speak like this or shout on the roads and come back. Then my schooling was stopped just because I was baptized. My schooling was stopped, school authorities. That was again a Christian management school where they were not happy. Henceforth, my schooling was stopped. So I had more of time. I used to stand on the street and on the roadsides and preach the gospel like an open air meeting, especially when the students pass through that way.
Okay.
And from there I started growing. Early in the morning by 5 o'clock I get up, go to the roads and then shout the gospel. Then in the evening around 4 o'clock when the schools are school is setting off, I used to stand on the road and preach. I used to distribute the gospel tract, and the Sharon Pentecostal Church where I belonged to at that time gave me enough of tracts and such materials to distribute among the people. What? 100 tracts a day is enough for me. Right. Because that's all what I could do in that age. But till today, I am growing one way or the other. God is with me. That's how initially I was introduced to the spiritual field. It's my parents, then God himself started directing me.
Wow. I'm so blessed to hear that, Pastor. It'll actually be a great encouragement even for young parents and people that have young children, how to train them up in the ways of the Lord from a small age and to feed them scriptures and to train them in the right way. Pastor, can I know when was your first experience with the move of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit fell upon you, or you know, when you were exposed to the supernatural move of God?
Says, I have seen the miracles and other things happening by the hands of other people, but never under my own hands. When I was 14 years, there was a man in our side called Pastor P.V. Ashari. He's from a carpenter background.
Right.
And P.V. Ashari was a mighty speaker. Under his hands, I have seen mighty miracles.
Okay.
Mighty miracles.
Okay.
Which I couldn't practice even today.
Okay.
There was a boy who had a difference of 4 inches or even 5 inches between the two legs.
Okay.
One leg was shorter because of polio attack or something. I remember a day that that boy was made to lay down on a table and he applied little oil on the shorter feet and then pulled, come on in the name of Jesus, come up. I have seen that is growing.
Wow.
Oh, no, such experiences I had.
Right.
I had.
Right.
But when I was 22 years, 21 years something, when I was in the Indian Air Force. See, I joined the Air Force when I was 19. I was not anointed by the Holy Spirit, never with the evidence of speaking in tongues.
Right.
But then one day when I was sitting and praying in one of the Air Force areas, in the Air Force ground in Calcutta, I was anointed by the Holy Spirit by the evidence of speaking in tongues. And from then onwards, again, the life had a different path going on. I think we have, I have established the first prayer meeting when I was 22 in Calcutta, which grew to a church.
Okay, okay.
Then from there, I moved away. Then I was in Rajasthan. There I have organized a prayer meeting, which again grew into a church. Number of places, wherever I went. Wherever I went in the Indian Air Force during the, my transfer, because of my transfer and placements, wherever I went. If there is a church anywhere nearby, a full gospel Pentecostal church, I used to go and attend that. There were areas where I had to travel up to 32 kilometers, even Calcutta, 32 kilometers, and then attend a church.
Okay.
If there was no church even within about 35 kilometer, then I started one wherever I went.
Wow.
And such churches are few by grace of God in different parts of North India. When I went over, went away from there, other pastors came and took over. Some people from the Grace Bible College, they took over the church. Some people from P.G. Varghese group, they came and took over. Some churches, they, some people, there was one believer came from some other church, maybe from IPC, CPM, Church of God, and they joined to that denomination and went like that. Several churches, by grace of God, in the northern India.
So Pastor, you're saying that the Holy Spirit encountered you when you were by yourself.
Yeah.
You were not necessarily in a public meeting or in a conference, because that's what many young people, when they want a baptism of the Holy Spirit, they are always looking only for a public meeting. They think that this can happen only in a public meeting. But you're saying that your first experience with the Holy Spirit was when you were all by yourself.
That's true. See, I had been waiting for the tarrying meeting and the public meeting for so many places, so many days, because I was so desperate about it. I wanted to believe it, what I am believing. So I had been attending such groups and meetings as much as possible, maybe a few hundreds in around 10 years time, but never I was filled. Then I had a little doubt. Is it right?
Right.
Because why I cannot practice all the while?
That
was in Calcutta. I was asked to go for, rather, I was somebody helped me going for a meeting in Assemblies of God Church. There was an elderly person in the Indian Air Force who used to take us for the meeting.
Okay.
Along with him, I also went. That was 32 kilometers away from my camp, Air Force camp, Assemblies of God Church. And I was a member there. I was going there. I was not baptized by the Holy Spirit. I even had doubt. Is it true? Because 10 years, I think to the best of my ability, to the best of my consciousness, I was believing in the Holy Spirit, waiting for it. And I do not think I have offended God anywhere ever since I knew Him from the age of 12. During that time, when I had that doubt, there was a foreigner, maybe from Canada. He came to the Assemblies of God Church, Calcutta. And he was giving a message. After the message, it's an English practice that the pastor and the guest speaker come to the door, the main door, and shake hand with as many people as possible. So these people were standing there and shaking hand. I was coming with my friend who took me, and this foreigner who came as a guest speaker shook hand with me and said, "Wait a minute, the Holy Spirit have a message for you."
Okay.
So my friend also agreed with me, waited until he finished shaking hand with everybody and then came back. He laid his hands on me and then said, "It's a time that you do not believe me properly now because of your bitter experiences of not experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. And today is the day that the Lord has separated for you. You will be filled in the Holy Spirit."
Wow. Okay.
32 kilometer, we traveled back and we came back to the campus. But then suddenly I thought, he said today. Today means up to 23:59 in the night. That is 11:59 in the night. Today goes. So, and it is only around 10 o'clock. Why not I sit and pray? So I went into a lonely area where there is nobody. Nobody could listen to me even if I shout. I went there and prayed, "Lord, if you are true. And if this prophecy was true, fulfill it." I do not know how many minutes I spent over there. I started feeling there is an entirely different atmosphere. I felt my body weight is reducing, or I do not know what all feeling was there. But after a few minutes, I realized that I started speaking in tongues. Again, it made another tremendous change in life, another tremendous change. When I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, that made a change from the nominal way of my parents bringing me up and teaching me the Bible. I started realizing myself what the Bible is. When I took water baptism, there was enough of persecution, that problem came. But when I again was baptized in the Holy Spirit, that was another area. Whenever I have seen a miracle, that also made a change. Changes over changes, changes over steps, changes, steps by steps I was going on. Then God gave, given me chances to know many, many people and hear many, many things. Because I never spent 1 minute anywhere on the way, anyway, other than God's way. I never watched a movie, never a cinema. I never tasted liquor. I never tasted a smoke. None of this. To the best of my ability, whatever my parents thought it is righteous before God, I let my life in that way. I never spent 1 minute extra for the world. Even sports and games, I never used to take part. I used to read the Bible or some biblical books. I used to attend the conventions where Pastor K.E. Abraham and other things renounced the people of God. And to receive the content what they are speaking. I used to compare between the messages, very you know, shallow messages are plenty, and there are messages with content. I always used to evaluate those things and go to the content message, read the books where there is a content, there is something new for me. Otherwise, an average book which I already know information, I never used to read it because I already know it. What is there to spend time? I never used to listen to a message which I topic which I already knew. Why to waste my time over there? Go for something new. That has brought me to the present level where I am.
Amazing, amazing. Pastor, we are so inspired by your hunger for God from such an young age, and how you were eager to learn. And I also noticed how you started sharing the gospel on the streets as soon as you got saved. It is not later when you started a church or pastored a church that you started your ministry, that your proclamation of what God has done for you, that started as soon as you experienced the Lord personally. So how important it is, you know, to do that, to actually not just receive from God, but also to, you know, respond back to God and do what God wants us to do by, you know, making disciples, evangelizing, sharing what Jesus has done for us to others.
See, for this, I was a Marthomite, but the young ages when I go to the Marthomite church, some of the spirit ministers, those who come there and preach, not the priest, but mainly the second level people, those who give the word of God, many of them were very inspiring. And from then onwards, I had a feeling I have to be like them.
Mm.
I have to inspire others also with my speech, because when I listened to those preachings, I was very much inspired.
Mm.
And if this experience can be for others also through me, I was very much longing about it, but I did not practice. But one day when I listened to an open air meeting conducted by a Pentecostal man, that is the first time in life, his name was Easy Matthew, I still remember. In Kerala we used to call him as Johnny Kutty, that was his pet name. He's today in the US, that gentleman. He was an MSc holder. He was an MSc holder. In that open air message, what subject he has taken was all the elements will burn away from the book of Peter. He has taken that message and he was preaching. There was a very, very, very highly educated man in my area. Too highly educated. Had number of PhDs. And finally, there is a degree called a Doctor of Science. He has gone for that degree, sponsored by the government of America.
Okay.
He was in the US and he was doing it. Meantime, he came. But unfortunately, this man is an atheist.
Okay.
He's a role model for all of us and we all used to follow him. Because such a pious gentleman, decent, well-behaved from a high society, from a high family, a rich family and all that advantages together, yet so humble to move with average men, ordinary men. But being an atheist, he came and opposed this preacher. The first place where I listened, a Pentecostal man preaching. He told the preacher, "Hey preacher, will you kindly stop for a minute?" And this gentleman, his name I do not want to say, that atheist, young man. So the preacher immediately stopped because he's a very respected man. Everybody know him. He said, "Yes." Then he said, "Unless you have a BSc first class in physics, you are not supposed to speak on that subject of elements. What do you know about elements?" Pentecostal preacher. Then he asked, "Suppose if I have an MSc, what do you say?" He said, "I will listen to you. If you have an MSc in physics, I will listen to you." Then he said, "I am MSc first class. Sit down and listen." And this gentleman, the atheist, sat down, just to ridicule the preacher. He sat down on the main road in the middle, blocking the traffic. Hardly any traffic during those days, but blocking even that. 10 minutes he preached. And then he said, "If you have any counter arguments on what I am talking, we can make a debate and come, we will listen to the debate." And then immediately the atheist asked, "Can you prove the Bible scientifically?" He said, "Tell me your questions." Then he has put some 3 questions. And they are simple. They are simple, I can. They arranged for a blackboard and a place and all that. There was a debate meeting. Notices were printed and many people came. That includes me. My father also said, "You go," because I always have that feeling of Pentecostalism, rather the water baptism, things like that. And this atheist can definitely disprove anybody because he's so efficient, eloquent, and he will never allow anybody to overtake him. My father wanted me to be deep-rooted in the Bible, yet he didn't want me to go totally in the Bible, including water baptism and things like that. Henceforth, he thought, if I listen to this argument, this atheist is definitely going to put the other men down. And henceforth, my father have a better chance of recollecting me, recalling me. I didn't take baptism at that time. I was only asking doubts about bishop covering head and then baptism, things like. So he allowed me to go. I went and attended on that night. They called a Hindu man to be a supervisor over the argument, moderator, and then the two were arguing. I understood nothing because both were writing equation after equation, which I never knew anything. I remember the first question says that Bible says that word that the word be manifested in flesh. Is that possible? Both were writing equations. Finally said, "Yes, it is possible. Scientifically, it is possible. Physically, only Jesus manifested it." But equations are there. And the Hindu declared, the Pentecostal preacher won and the other men failed. And the other men also said, "Yes, I failed." The second argument was, can the elements burn? Equations after equations. And finally he said, "Yes, it can burn." Like that, there were 3 questions. All the 3 that gentleman won. We were about 150, 200 people listening to all these things.
Okay.
Finally, the Pentecostal preacher said, I know that most of you understood almost nothing out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is at a higher level of education,
right,
which my friend wanted to bring before you, and I also want to bring before you. You understood it. Though you did not understand any of this, I want to tell you something which is understandable, which you will understand. And he shared the plain gospel. Said, is there somebody who wanted to confess in open that I accept Jesus? And I was the first man to stand up. There were maybe another 30, 40 along with me, stood up and said, yes, we want. That gave me such amount of encouragement. I must convince the others. Must convince the others. These are the things. Actually, an example taken from that, E.C. Matthew. E.C. Matthew is still alive. I met him 2-3 times, even in the U.S. Is there? Okay. He became an inspiration to me.
Right, right.
I feel I should be an inspiration for others. Henceforth, we could develop, I think, in thousands, we could develop ministers within the ministry.
So such an inspiration to hear that story. And
I heard it from somebody and then I had to share it.
Right. Pastor, you know, how long ago was Bethel AG Church started?
Bethel AG is over 60 years.
Okay.
But then I am here only for last 37, 38 years.
Okay, okay.
Bethel AG had a good testimony of growth as well decrease. Both were there.
Right.
When I came there, there was only 22 members. That was in 1983.
Okay.
Again, it was based totally on a prophecy. 1981, when I was coming to Bangalore, even earlier I came to Bangalore, that was in 1971. 71, with my family, I came to Bangalore. At that time, there was some prophecy regarding my ministry that all fulfilled.
Right.
But in 81, again, I was coming back to Bangalore. Because in India, first we get transferred here and there. 81, I was transferred back to Bangalore. Before reaching Bangalore, I went to Sister Mary Kovur. She was a prophetess too.
Yeah.
And I had a word of prayer with her.
Yeah.
So she prophesied to me and said, when you go back this time, I am going to put you in an important position in the city.
Okay.
That thousands of souls will be saved and churches will grow. There is a revival and all that. Years back onwards, there was a prophet called Vairiyaviram Yohannachan.
Yeah.
Yohannachan used to take prophecy on me that there is going to be big change. There is big fire of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Thousands will be attracted and you are one among them, whom the God is going to use.
Right.
So I had all that feelings in me, and finally Mary Govuru said, now is the time. All of prophecies are going to be fulfilled, and henceforth you are going for that particular specific thing. Because the prophecies earlier were repeated by this lady, that was more convincing to me. And according to her, on the first week of June 1983, I will put you to a new church, which will be the beginning of the...
So you had been in full-time ministry by then?
No, I'm in the Air Force.
Okay.
So working in the Air Force and working in the ministry is not a problem. My policy, rather my prayer to God was, I should earn myself.
Okay.
Make my bread, take care of my family and minister unto the Lord, like Paul did.
Right.
That
right.
may be a better level at that time. That is what I felt.
Right.
Today I'm not working anyway. And brother, one thing let me tell you at this level. If you like, you can publish it, otherwise no. A word like full-time ministry is a fooling terminology.
Right.
Nobody can work for full-time. I need to sleep for some time.
Yeah.
A day is 24 hours. If you say that full-time, I should work for all full-time. Then nobody. God did not create a man for full-time ministry.
Right.
No.
Right.
With the maximum available time, we are serving God. That's
right.
it.
Absolutely.
That if somebody does, he can be successful. That people doesn't do.
Yeah.
They sleep extra and all that.
Yeah.
When I was working in the secular field, at that time only major changes were made. That time only major churches, I mean many, many churches were formed. All that when I was working. No, moreover that, if I look into North India during those days, now I don't go to North India. From 81 onwards, I do not travel much to North India. I do not serve in the North India much. 81, I came to Bangalore.
Okay.
Before that, most of the churches that was made by somebody who is employed there. Somebody those were working there. True. They have done. Then when it formed as a church, they sponsored a pastor to come and then serve and all that.
Yeah.
Like that only full-time ministers, so-called full-time ministers came over there, not otherwise. These are the works of the people, those who go into that area, whom God appoint there and sent, along with their secular work or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they work for the Lord. That, that's what is my feeling.
Yeah.
So in the, I was in the Air Force and then I came over here. Sister Mary Gore said, in the first, from the first week of June 1983, I am placing you into a new place and that will be the beginning of a revival.
Amazing.
And Assemblies of God one day called me and asked that I have to take over the Bethel Church at that time with the 22 members, where most of the people were below the poverty level.
Okay.
I had one person who didn't have a slipper to put on the leg. I had many people who didn't have three types food. I mean, out of the 22 I'm talking. The richest man at that time in the church had a vehicle that was an old rotten Hercules cycle. That was his vehicle. That was the situation of the church in 1983.
Wow.
So no pastors were interested to serve here.
Wow.
They couldn't find a man.
Right.
That's why Assemblies of God asked me, can you serve over there? I said, from first week of June, I can go. I'm fully prepared. It was Dr. T.C. George, who was a district superintendent. He told me, no, you have to go 1 week early. From the last week of May, you have to take over. I said, okay, I'll take over. It is almost close by. But I was totally prepared to come here and conduct the Sunday service. But Saturday evening, somebody gave me an information, you need not to go there. There's another pastor, a Bible school trained one, so you need not to go there. So I did not come. Practically nobody came. This was a false information. And I also did not come. The church service did not take place in the last week of May 1983.
Okay.
Then the church secretary again called me and said, what is this? Why didn't you come and all that one? Then they couldn't be on Sunday because I don't have a telephone at that time.
Right.
Only in my office there was a telephone. So he called me next day morning and asked what. I apologized to him sincerely and I said, because of this misinformation, I could not come. And first week of June 1983, I joined the church with 22 members.
Wow.
In 1984, March, the baptism started.
Wow.
From then, it never stopped. Every
Amazing.
Month we used to conduct the baptism until 1999. We have conducted baptisms every month. Then some of the youngsters came and asked me, every month baptism became a tradition. Why don't you break it? Then I asked them, how can I break it? He said, make it weekly. He said, man, you do not understand the difficulty to get somebody for baptism. Of course, we used to get 2 people for baptism in some months 10 people. There was one occasion where there were 72 people. That is that highest number per month we used to get. Some months, maybe once or twice, only 2 people were there. But even getting the 2 people every month is a difficult thing at that time. I am fully engaged in the Indian Air Force.
I am
working there for full time. And then coming over here, conducting new meetings, new places, new Bible studies and people coming forward and all that. However, the second generation came forward and then they told me, Pastor, why not we start weekly? I said, man, it is very, very difficult. It is beyond what you think. Then one young boy, I still thank God for that boy, is a minister today. He could have been 12 year old. He said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He will give me souls. So, Angle, every month, it is the second week of a month I used to conduct. Why? Because I am working in the central government service.
Second.
Saturday is a holiday for me, second Saturday.
Yeah.
Henceforth, okay, that was my pattern. So the second week I have water baptism on Sunday after the Sunday service. He said, Uncle, third Sunday, it is my duty. I will bring souls for baptism. Will you baptize?
Wow.
I was in tears.
Wow.
I said, yes. Immediately another brother, that is my younger son. He was also around 12 at that time. He said, Daddy, I will bring people on the first Sunday.
Wow.
Every month, first Sunday, it is my souls that will you baptize? I said, yes. The third man said, on the next Sunday, I will. That is the fourth Sunday, I will bring. Oh, I was so inspired, challenged. Then I said, see, some months do have 5 weeks. So second week is my duty. Fifth week, if it is, I will do myself. And from then onwards, that is from the year 2000, we never missed 1 week without baptism.
Wow. Never that missed is such one. An amazing
now,
testimony.
Now, most of the days we have baptisms.
Wow.
Most of the days. Because the youngsters are coming up. If you can inspire another person on the biblical principles, people will come forward.
Absolutely.
But on the other hand, let me tell you that everyone who is baptized are not really deserving baptism. Some backslide. Because for emotional changes or for their personal private reasons, or I do not know. They come forward, commit themselves, and then they have water baptism. Yesterday there was a family, they were both were doctors. They came for the baptism, they are baptized. But then we do not know them. What is the depth of their commitment, because they are quite new. Some ministers whom I know well called me from Kerala stating that this doctor family, the husband and wife, both are doctors, they wanted to be baptized. But for some reason they cannot be baptized in Kerala because of their personal problems, privacy and things like, will you please entertain them? I said, okay, if you know them, that's okay. Like that they are come. I don't know how long they will withstand for the Lord. Like that also there. Otherwise, yeah, we have baptisms very regularly.
Amazing, amazing, Pastor. We are so blessed. We are out of time, but from your 37 years of pastoring this church and ministry before being in Bethel, and from serving the Lord, you've had physical battles, you've had a battle with cancer where the Lord, you know, took you out of that in such an amazing way. You've had legal battles in our city, you've had to face spiritual battles, you know, all through these years. What is the one advice or caution or warning or something that you would give young church planters or young people in the ministry? You know, especially in Bangalore, we find so many pastors and leaders who are between the ages of 20s and 30s. So what advice would you give them early on in ministry?
I would tell you, Pastor, you need to be on a war footing. Because all the Christian ministers, the Bible called them the spiritual warriors. You got to be on the war footing. War footing means do or die. Nothing in between. Do or die. So if you can't do, then better prefer to die. That should be your commitment, your ways. Family comes second. You know, the foreigners, especially the Americans and Britishers, the Europeans, they have a feeling that family comes first and then only your ministry. But I don't think that's a Christian ministry, because Christ was not showing that. Ministry was first. For me also, ministry was first. Family may suffer, but ministry is first. But it was the duty of God Almighty, responsibility of God Almighty to provide a family who would cooperate with you.
He
gave me a family that can cooperate with me.
Right.
I still remember the first convention which I was going at Palghat when I was in Bangalore. I gave them time that I will come for a convention, and I was almost to go out of my home. Immediately my wife had the first heart attack. She fell down. And my mother-in-law was also there. She said, immediately rush to the hospital. I said, where? My train is about to go. I can't. I had to go on the train because I had to go to Palghat for the convention. I prayed, Lord, it is in your hand. My eldest son was around 13 or 14 years at that time. I told him, go to Brother John. We had one Brother John who had been a good friend of mine. Ask him to bring the car, and he didn't have a car, taxi, and take your mother to the hospital. I will pray. That's all I am going. And I left for the convention, I remember. She reached the hospital by then. They said, checked up and said, you need to undergo an open heart surgery. But that need not to be today. You have some time. You need to undergo an open heart surgery. She was discharged. By the time I came back from the convention after 5 days, my wife was also back at home. No grumbling. No grumbling. That was the first encounter. It's a war footing. Then you got to be totally on the Holy Spirit and totally on the Bible. If the Holy Spirit asks you something, maybe 10,000 leaders tell you no. Keep that 10,000 leaders on one side, go with the Holy Spirit. If the Bible asks you to do something, do it. Never anything else. That's the only way that you can be serving the Master. See, we cannot serve two masters at a time. Never. If you decide to serve the living Master, he will be with you and he will use you. If you can't, naturally you will be like another ordinary church. Many churches are only on maintenance way. If you have 10 believers, maintain the 10 believers and make your earning out of that. If you have 20 believers, very good. Go ahead with that. But then I think church has to be a growing factor.
Absolutely.
It has to be some growing element. That's my view.
Thank you so much, Pastor, for taking your time to minister to us. Would you just speak a word of blessing over those that are listening to us? Some of them may be pastors, some of them may be business leaders or those that influence different spheres of society. If you could just pray that, you know, the Lord will cause them to influence people and be role models in our society, the same way that the Lord has used you and blessed others through you.
Definitely. When I'm praying for the business category, let me mention one name, that is Philip Ong, a Chinese man.
Okay.
Who visited my church, because I visited him in Singapore.
Okay.
I spent about one day with him.
Okay.
A multi billionaire.
Okay.
Whose tithes used to be few millions of dollars.
Okay.
Singaporean dollars.
Wow.
Who had been in business.
Mm.
He visited here also, and I know him.
Mm.
He said, I was a big zero.
Mm.
Big zero.
Mm.
From there, God put me into a church.
Mm.
And the church started growing suddenly.
Mm.
And one day, when the church has really grown more than 100 times, more than 100 times. Yeah, here in Bangalore, I had a 22-member church. We have 22,000 people today.
Mm.
And around more than 1 lakh people got baptized.
Mm.
In Bangalore alone, over 1 lakh people got baptized. And then when they went to different parts of it, growing 100 times, 1,000 times is not a big thing.
Right.
It is possible. And he had also grown. At that time, God said me, come out from the church, serve in the business field.
Wow.
Because church also need money.
Wow.
You do not forget, I will be using you later.
Mm.
Now come to the business field.
Mm.
In the business field, he started from nothing. He started parking the car. He said, that is where I started. And cleaning the car, washing the car.
Mm.
I started from there. But today, according to him, 6,000 people work in my factory.
Wow.
6,000 people.
Wow.
Hey, you know Motorola company?
Yes.
I'm talking about the owner of Motorola.
Amazing. Amazing.
Philip Ong.
Wow.
Motorola company. And finally he said to me, today we have all these things, but God is asking me to leave the business and go back to the ministry again.
Amazing.
I said, Philip, I want you to come to Bangalore church and minister unto us and encourage our people. Yes.
Right.
When God put you into that way, you do
that.
And with there you serve the Lord. When God put you here, serve the Lord.
Absolutely.
It is the Holy Spirit who lead you and guide you.
Okay, yes.
Let me have a word of prayer.
Thank you so much.
Father, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I pronounce a blessing unto that people, those who are listening to us today.
Yeah.
Many may misinterpret, many may misunderstand, but I pray that the Holy Spirit will lead them, direct them correctly, that they will go in thy ways alone.
Yes.
They will be beneficial to the people, they will be beneficial to the kingdom of thine. I stand in the gap as a servant of thine, and I bless them in thy holy name.
Yes.
A word of blessing I pronounce for them, Lord.
Mm.
And I know, because I use this blessing in the name of Jesus, a name which is above all name, that will be profitable, fruitful, and that shall come through. In Jesus' name I pray, and I bless them. Amen. My blessing upon the people. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. We are really blessed by what the Lord is doing through you, especially the series that you're doing right now from the books of the Bible, the different books that you're picking up and teaching on YouTube. That's been so amazing. And we will leave the links for people to follow all the teachings in the podcast so that they can also be blessed by the same. Thank you once again for joining us on this podcast.
Wow, that was great. And I hope that you received some precious pearls of wisdom from the conversation. We always love hearing from you and knowing your questions and challenges in the area of leadership. Feel free to reach out to us at pastorpriji.com and we will try our best to be of help. So until next time, thank you and God bless you.